Book of Revelation, chapter number 1, and verse number 9. Good to see you standing there this morning. A lot of worse places you could be. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, the patience of Jesus Christ, is in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I like that we get the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John said, verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass that they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. In verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in verse 18. For he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And I want to preach on this thought this morning. God had helped me in the Holy Ghost to trust me on because he lives. Because he lives. I want you to notice he made a statement that you and I could not make. He said, I am he that liveth. All you and I can say is that we live. For we have an appointment of death that we must meet and that we must keep. But as the sovereign one, the great I am, he said, I liveth. I'm glad this morning because he lives. First of all, I can face tomorrow. There's a lot of you that you're facing obstacles in your life tomorrow. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. First of all, I can face the tempter tomorrow. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 22 and verse 31, he's talking to a man a lot like you and I, Simon Peter. And he tells Simon Peter in Luke 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee. I want to say that again. But I pray for thee. I'm glad that's in red in my Bible. And certainly because he lives, I can face the tempter of tomorrow. Why? Because he's prayed for me today. And he's prayed for you today. And I'll remind you, Mom and Daddy, the devil is a real devil. He's not some impression that somebody's came up with and because they had nothing else to come up with and draw a picture of. The devil's not a man in the corner with pointed ears and a pitchfork. The devil is an adversary. And he seeks you this morning. Seeks to sift you as wheat. The Bible said that he may have them. I'm glad he can't have me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because he lives. Now, religion ain't going to keep him from me. Amen. This baptism pool ain't going to keep him from me.
And the good works I can come up with ain't going to keep him from me. But I'm glad because he lives.
He prays for me.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face the tempter of tomorrow. Now, I am no match for the devil. You are no match for the devil. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm glad it's not a close race. It's a shoe-in. I'm glad I've already seen the scoreboard. It ain't even a tight race. The Lord is in charge this morning. He's all power. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He is everything. Yeah, man, ain't nobody like him. And I guarantee you, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face the tempter of tomorrow. Secondly, I can face the temptations of tomorrow. I wondered why that I never could break away from the world. But I want to show you in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And by the way, I want to remind you of this. The world don't tear my nerves up acting like the world. We heard a young man yesterday down at Lake Weedowee. Was out there fishing. He began to take God's name in vain. And you know how your voice carries across the water. It carried all the way across the river. And the man in the boat with me, he is a saved man too. He says, boy, that really gets on me. He goes to talking about my father like that. I said, yeah, but always remember this. The world talks like the world. The world acts like the world. And God's youngins ought to talk different than the world and act different than the world. And so greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I praise his good holy name this morning. I guarantee you, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face the temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You say, now listen, preacher. I've been saved a long time. Yeah, but your flesh ain't saved. And I don't care how saved you get, honey. This flesh is stinking. This flesh, you got to pamper it. You got to put deodorant on it or it goes to stinking. I tell you why. Because there's none good. No, not one. This flesh is going to go to the grave, but it's something inside of me this morning that's going to live forever, that's been saved and sealed and soon to be caught away by his good and holy name this morning. Oh, he says this, beware lest you fall. Now, he said, take heed, that hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now this is hogwash when you tell me that I'm saved, but I can't get out of the devices of the devil. I'm saved, but I can't overcome sin. That's hogwash, because greater than he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. Now if you fall into a trap, it's because you didn't grab a hold of the doorknob and get out of the situation. Every time that I've ever fallen, I've always noticed there was a way out. But because my pride, because my popularity, and because of the things of this flesh, I didn't grab a hold of the door that God said did, and I got in trouble. Good preaching, Pastor. Now I want you to notice what God will do. A lot of times a temptation comes to us. God lives in our heart. We that are saved. Before I go in that door, God says this. Don't go in there. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's what the flesh does. I'm going to go anyway. You know what happens? You stay gone a long time. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you better listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart. He said, I'll not let you be tempted above what you're able to get out of. You play with fire, you're going to get burnt. You lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. Boy, I never will forget. I went one time
visited a family and they let an old dog in the house. One big orange Irish setters. I sat down on the couch. Feller poured me something hot to drink and I got there and my goodness, I was eat up with fleas. You know why? Because I sat down amongst them. Some of you got dogs in your house? Boy, you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
But you know, because He lives, there's somebody that lives in us that'll help us get out of life's temptations. Look what He said. There hath no temptation.
Devil made me do it. No, you didn't. Your stinking, rotten flesh made you do it.
Devil didn't make you do it. You chose to sin. And so therefore, the Bible says, God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Some of us can endure greater temptations than others.
A weak Christian, God's going to be sure that you're not going to be overcome by a great temptation. God knows what we can take. We're no match for the devil, friend. I don't care how saved you get, you're going to be robed in this old flesh. This old flesh gets mad, don't it? Some of y'all got mad this morning at your husband. Some of you got mad at your wife. Some of you got mad at your children. Somebody pulled out, somebody come to church, you shook your fist at them, blow the horn away the house of God. You got so mad before you noticed. You know why? Because that flesh that your spirits are living in.
And so, because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Preacher, I just don't think I can make it through tomorrow. Listen to this sermon.
Amen. I can face the temptations of tomorrow. He said, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I looked up this word, bear it. I love word studies. You know what that thing means? It means to bear from a load.
To bear from underneath. It means this temptation is so severe. It means this temptation is so heavy that it presses down on you. Boy, I have temptations of a lot of things. It says it presses down on you. Boy, I can walk into a tobacco shop. Woo! I can walk into a Harley shop. Oh, my. Well, that Harley Davidson.
Preacher.
Oh, it bears down on me. Now, preacher, why? I don't know, but it does. But I tell you one thing, that motorcycle shop has got a door handle on it. I bought one time without praying about it, and I was miserable for 6 weeks until I got shed of it. That tobacco's got a seal on it. I can open it or close it. Hello, phone's ringing. Pick it up. It's for you. Y'all not going to get tore up at the mailman today, are you? I mean, if the mailman comes by y'all's house and put something in your mailbox, you don't run out there and chew him out, do you? Why don't you contact the one sending the mail? He's the one who won't get in touch with you this morning, not the mailman. Reason he put something in your box this morning, you sitting there with your red flag up. Hear me? Because He lives, I face tomorrow. Tomorrow's tempter. Tomorrow's temptation. Tomorrow's trials. Let me tell you, child of God, there's a trial waiting on you out there. Boy, the choir's singing good, ain't it pretty? I got to hurry. I ain't even through the first point. When the choir's singing, it's easy to live for Jesus. But when everybody's coming in, rubbing on you, kissing on you, patting on you, hugging on you, pumping and priming, but out yonder there's a real world and a real devil. And there's trials waiting on me and you out yonder tomorrow. Trials. You say, Pastor, I don't know where you're coming from. I ain't got nothing. Come see me after service. I got a bucket full. trials. But because he lives, I can face the trials of tomorrow. What are you talking about, preacher? All right, watch your Bible. He said in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Oh, I looked up that word too. Brother Terry, that word means burning. Oh, my. A burning trial in your life. I wonder, what's what he said? He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happen to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He's glorified. Now watch this. The Bible says, happy are ye if you reproach for the name of Christ. You know what that means when somebody says, you're a holy roller. You say, hallelujah, I'm glad. Yeah. You know what my problem is? Jesus got me before the Baptist got me. And just because I'm a Baptist, I've not learned you can't shout. I enjoy what I have. It's fun being a Christian. A lot of you, ain't you tired of waking up drunk in the ditch not knowing how you got down there? Wake up with puke all over you. Not even knowing how you got broke, ain't got a dime to go buy you a piece of chicken. Boy, I tell you what, Jesus will give you something you can get happy about. And boy, you'll wake up and feel so good. But you sound like you may have been there. Yeah, I have. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Now, I want to remind you this morning, these fiery trials, they're going to come your way and my way. Why? Because we need some things burned up in our life. And when these trials come, they're coming for a reason. God makes no mistakes. Hear me and hear me well. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning, God makes no mistakes. God knew before you was born, you'd sit right here this morning at this hour. God makes no mistakes, and because He lives, we can face our trials. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14 and verse number 22. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Acts 14, verse number 22. There the Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in their faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know what God will be sure of? That you won't have a whole lot of heaven down here, except when you get to church. You know why? Because if you lived in heaven down here, you wouldn't appreciate heaven when you got there. He said you must go through some severe trials to enter into the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? You see, you'll appreciate it when you get there, when you've had a rough and a rocky road. But there's somebody walking with you this morning on that road. And I'm so glad because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Secondly, because He lives, I can focus on tomorrow. What are you focusing on in your life? Are you focusing about your job tomorrow? Are you focusing about trying to get ahead in this world and building a bigger home than the Joneses, riding in a nicer car than the Joneses, having a total wardrobe in your closet like nobody? All them things is going to burn up, people. Eternity is too long to be wrong. You see, because He lives, I can focus on tomorrow. First of all, I can focus on my obligations. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let me show you, Christian, what your obligation tomorrow is.
Colossians, chapter number 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, what about that?
You didn't know that you had arose too, did you? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. What are you saying here now, Pastor? I'm saying, because He lives, I can focus tomorrow on my obligations. Our obligation is to seek things above. And folks, when you get your life centered in Christ, everything else will fit. You having a hard time at your job? I tell you why. You're not focused. You having a hard time in the church? I tell you why. You're not focused. This word focus is a big deal. You, any of you hunters, you ever look through a pair of binoculars or a rifle scope that wouldn't focus? It was no good for nothing. But boy, when you take and turn that knob and you say, aha, now I'm focused. And because He lives, I can focus on my obligation. It's not about building a bigger church. No. It's about keeping Him high and lifted to where He wants to be. Now, did you notice you didn't get no program this morning when you walked in this facility? You know why? Because He's the program. I bet Brother Randall wouldn't have been pinned in that program. I bet Brother David wouldn't have been pinned in your program, but there's on God's program. See, God's the program. And if you just keep focused on Him, you'll have a whole lot better day. Turn around there and tell folks you're sitting by this one, say, get focused. Devil just got you looking at before. You're searching, you're searching under trees, under bushes, looking in your pockets. There ain't nothing in them places. Everything's under. You ought to walk in. You ought to try that. Walk in your job in the morning and do this. You know why folks start doing that? Quit doing that. Start looking at it. Say, what are you doing? I said, I'm focusing on things above. Mom and Dad, I want to encourage you this morning. Me and my wife have been married nearly 25 years. We've raised our children in the house of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, a lot of you, you're preparing your children for their living. You better get concerned about their dying. Because He lives. Listen, because He lives, I can focus on tomorrow. I'm glad He's allowed me to see spiritual things and get my eyes off worldly things. You say, well, I want to climb the corporate ladder. Why is it lonely there? Amen? Ain't nothing up top but a long way down. Obligations, opposition. Because He lives, I can focus tomorrow not only on my obligations, but on my oppositions. What's your oppositions? I'm going to finish this tonight. Get ready to give me a song, please. Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to be an unusual service this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want you to watch your Bibles. Because He lives, I can focus on the opposition. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. I want you to look what He says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what's your opposition? It's not your brother and sister. It's the devil. Daddies, listen to the man of God this morning. You're going to stand and give an account for your family on the day of judgment. You're going to give an account for you, for your soul. That's all. But then you're going to give an account of how you've raised your family. You're the spiritual leader of your home. Daddy, you're not going to get by it. You're not going to get around it. You are going to give an account. You brought them children in this world. You're going to give an account of how you raised them children. Because he lives, I can focus on tomorrow. I can focus on the opposition. Now watch what it says. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Mom and Daddy, your children have got more out there than you and I ever imagined. That's why you need to be hooked in a good Bible-believing church. This rag from bush, there's no stability in your life. There's no stability in your home. God will make you stable. Look what he says. That you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt. Boy, the devil would love to run you off. If he can run you off, he's got it accomplished. How many times do you think he's told me to leave? How many times has he told you to leave lately? If not, you're in trouble. Is that right, Brother Dennis? Where are you, Brother Dennis? I hear you. Raise your hand, Brother Dennis. Brother David, ain't that so? Brother Tim, he's our opposition. But because he lives, I can focus on him and realize he's wanting me, he's wanting you. Do you know that? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what truth is? It's this King James Bible. And if you ain't got one, just leave it on the floor. We'll sweep it up with the rest of the trash when you leave. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Daddy, you know the way you're going to raise them young'uns? Ain't one way, by the faith in Jesus. Shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let me close with this thought. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Any of you facing some things tomorrow? I tell you who can help you through it. His name's Jesus. Because he lives, I can focus on tomorrow. I can focus on tomorrow's obligations. I'm obligated to seek those things above. Because he lives, I can focus on my opposition. I've got to be reminded daily the devil is my adversary. Do you want to go further with Christ? Do you want to have a family the way this Bible says to raise a family? Get focused. Don't. You see, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. A lot of you this morning, the reason your families can't get blessed, God can't raise the windows up and pour you out a blessing. Why? Because you've got them locked for Him. You've got to go by what this Bible says before you can be blessed. Now, I know some of you staring out and you know it's about lunchtime. But I want to tell you this morning. Jesus loves you. And I want to give you this third point. I'll not go into it, but I want to share this with you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can focus on tomorrow. And because he lives, I don't have to fear tomorrow. Did you see what I read in the text of this Bible? This thing is, it is just so amazing of what's in this book. He said, I am he that liveth, was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. I'll never forget the day I got saved.
that prison. He locked up hell. And locked heaven. And what's this? That death angel comes for your preacher man. Jesus got the keys of death. He's gone. What death? Not death right here. Death will never hold me. So it just give me a promotion. It's going to make me drop this old flesh. It's going to get a new body. Live with Jesus. You ever been saved? I'm not talking about if you ever joined a church. That's not what I'm asking you. You ever had an experience with Christ? There ever been a time when Christ knocked on your heart, shows you was lost, and you said, "Lord, I need you as my Savior. I do." There ever been a time like that in your life? Mom and daddies, I know it's Easter. But I'm preaching about one this morning. Holds the keys. You know what he's done? He's handed everybody in this facility this morning. Said, "You want the keys? Did you know that in the kingdom, the sign of a key meant power? Not only his scepter, but they wore a key around their neck. And that's why that the people in Bible times was relating to the writing. They said, oh, he has all power. He has the keys. Will death hold you? If you've never been saved, it'll keep you. Hell will be your home. The Bible said in hell he lifted his eyes. Folks, hell's a terrible place. There's a heaven to gain. It's a hell to shun. Jesus holds the keys. Would you trust him to be your Savior? But again, I've never been saved. Never have. God's been dealing with me. I'm worried about my eternity. Won't you come find your way down this old-fashioned altar this morning? I was preaching last week in revival, and I was reminded about what a man told me one time. He came forward and he said, "Preacher, I'm dying, going to hell in my sins. I want to be saved." And I said, "Okay, fall on the altar and pray." And he didn't move. He just stood there, and I seen he was confused. I said, "Sir, what else is?" He said, "Preacher, I don't know how to pray." That amazed me. That a man in this area didn't know how to pray. But let me tell you how you can pray. You can kneel down this altar this morning as a little child, talk to Jesus, ask him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. Do you mean business and want that? He'd save you this morning. Mom and daddies, maybe you need to get focused in your life, child of God. Just maybe, this message is for you. Whatever you need this morning, as our brother and sister sang, this altar is open. Would you come? Whatever you need, we'll help you with. But don't, if you need help, you come this morning. Because he lives, would you come? Don't have to fear tomorrow, because he lives.